Ever feel like your bedroom's shrinking? Don't worry, you don't have to sell your favorite things to make space. With IKEA Bedroom Storage Solutions, think dressers, wardrobes, full closet systems, even storage boxes. You can keep it all. Your vintage band tees? Safe. Those limited edition sneakers? Plenty of room. And yes, your childhood teddy bear gets a spot too. Don't sell what you love, store it instead with IKEA Bedroom Storage Solutions. Shop now at ikea.us/bedroom-storage.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN, 97.5, a Gao Media Station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, 1 hour to go. It is The Usual Suspects show on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, Joel on a Monday, fun day, having a lot of fun kicking around sports and other things. And the hot topic went from April Fool's Day all the way to Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball and the Ball family in a hurry.
So I'm before I do this, let's get Chuck's calling on LeVar Ball.
This should be entertaining. So I look forward to this.
Yes, as always. Chuck, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I just wanted to let y'all know, man, just remind y'all, before I went to prison, I called it on LeVar Ball. I called this show and I told y'all why everybody was giving him that loving parent crap. I said it's going to go sideways and it's going to go sideways bad. I just want a little respect for that. That's it, man. You know, I've been serving my time. I deserve a little respect. That's it. That's all I'm going to say, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you, Chuck.
I didn't know Chuck went to prison, but I'm glad you're out.
He did.
I know.
I thought about like, what? At first when he said it, I forgot that we had said, well, he was gone so long because he had to do a bid. He was, quote, sick. That means he was, yeah, in prison. But, yeah, he did say that it was going to go south. And although I think you could kind of see the train wreck coming down the track.
Yeah, the writing
eventually
was on the wall that this had a chance to succeed. It also had more of a chance to fail miserably and be like a car wreck in front of the whole world to see.
But enough respect to Chuck for that.
Chuck's like the white version of the last OG with Tracy Morgan.
I have not watched that.
Yeah, because Tracy Morgan, the whole premise is that he went to prison and now he came back and he's trying
Is it?
Yeah.
Gotcha. A year ago, my wife announced to me she was pregnant and I started laughing because it was on April Fool's Day. Then she said she was serious. Honestly, I was upset and told her she was cruel for doing it on April Fool's Day. It was the worst April Fool's Day ever. Yeah, that's not something you wait a day. Just wait a day.
Can you imagine if that lingered and you're like, and babe, you're putting on some weight too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Time
very
to hit
funny.
The gym.
Look, you're just fat. Go work out. Like, no, what? Hey, Barry, love the show. Tell Nick to don't do that. He done sound like he is gay. What? I don't even know what that means.
At least it made sense.
You knew exactly what it means. That's why you read it.
No, I don't, because I think when you said you were going to go to the bar and jokingly tell people you were coming out on April Fool's, I think he was saying he was trying to make a crack on you, but it doesn't make sense because he just said, tell Nick to don't do that. He done sound like he is getting, like, I don't know. I think this guy might already be at the bar.
You guys have spent this much time trying to decipher that text.
I think he might already be at the bar drunk waiting on you to come in and play your prank on him.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
We never know.
Hey, Barry, my cousin told the family she was gay on April 1, and everyone was not surprised, even though we knew it was April Fool's Day. See? I think that you got to be careful if you're going to come out on April Fool's Day or pretend like you are. Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Slippery slope.
Speaking of slippery slopes.
Okay.
We've been talking periodically throughout the last week or two about Jussie Smollett.
Mm-hmm.
So after he was cleared, quote unquote, of all the charges, he traveled out to California where they were having the NAACP Image Awards Saturday night. And up until the last minute, people were wondering whether he was going to show up or not. Well, he didn't show. And as part of the deal, the show itself, the award show, asked everybody kind of to refrain from commenting on Jussie Smollett. Most people obliged, but Chris Rock, not so much. He decided that no matter what happens, he had some things to say, and it sounded a little something like this.
I guess I gotta present an award. They said no Jussie Smollett jokes. Yeah, I know. I know. What a waste of light skin, you know? You know what I could do with that light skin? That curly hair, my career would be out of here. Fucking running Hollywood. What the hell was he thinking? From now on, I ain't never gonna know Jussie. You're Jussie from now on. You don't even get the you no more. That you was respect. You ain't getting no respect from me. Okay.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, somebody sent me that clip. I forget who it was, but they were asking me about it and was like, isn't it true that as soon as you tell a comedian not to talk about something, that that's the first thing they're going to talk about? Yes, absolutely. Especially a comedian like Chris Rock. If you tell him, "Don't," what are you going to ruin Chris Rock's career? That ain't happening. Like, he's too big of a star. Now, somebody like me, if it was my big break and you say don't do it and I do it, you could probably affect my career. But a guy like Chris Rock is going to make jokes, and you just got to deal with that. What are you going to not have him back? Trust me, he don't care.
It's not the Oscars or the Emmys, and it's not on national TV.
Even if it was the Oscars, he still makes those jokes.
And that's true. And he's made enough money and a name for himself enough that he doesn't have to worry about that.
It's his job. I mean, like, that's like, I had a lady on, you know, I have that bit about Joel Osteen and yep. Mattress Mack, and it's on, and some lady was like, "I don't find this funny at all." And she left that comment. So I just responded, "Which part? The one where I was stating facts or the part where I told the truth?" And she was like, "I just don't think bashing people is funny." I was like, "I didn't bash people. I simply stated facts. Like, I didn't, there's no bashing. All that happened." And that's like, but it's also the job of a comedian to make commentary. And sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. But that's part of the job of a comedian. And a guy like Chris Rock, when something like that happens, and then especially at the NAACP Awards where was supposed to be there, he's going to talk about it. So it was futile to say to not talk about it. I mean, they're just going. That's like a story somebody told me about Norm MacDonald. I want to say it was Big J. Oakerson that told me this story. Maybe, I don't remember who it was. But they were doing a road gig, and they were like, "Okay, the big thing is you can't curse. If you curse, you're not getting paid." And this was at the time, it was Norm and two other guys who were big time. I forget the names of them. They're all big now. I think it may have been like Norton or somebody. I don't know. But they were all nervous about going out and not cussing. Norm MacDonald, first one out, and just immediately F-bomb right out of his mouth, and just does the filthiest 15 to 20 minutes you've ever heard, and walks off stage, and they're like, "You're not going to get paid." He's like, "I don't care. You're not going to tell me what to do." And he just kept going. That's the mindset of a lot of comedians, especially well-established ones. So it doesn't surprise me, but I'm just glad he executed it well, because that's also a slippery slope where it could backfire.
Oh, it sure could.
It was very funny, though. So, and of course, he did it in only the way Chris Rock could do it.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I'm telling you. And again, he's kind of the anti-Sandler, too, because Sandler's also got enough money that he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But he's not in the current mainstream enough anymore to where it would get as much run.
Yeah, that's true. Chris Rock is the perfect guy. Somebody like him. Like, Kevin Hart's not going to go out and do that necessarily.
Nope, especially what he's been through, too, just recently with his Twitter.
Oh, and that's very true.
Losing he lost the Oscars, right?
Yeah, he did lose the Oscars.
Because that was that big deal with Ellen getting involved and trying to save it and all that other stuff.
So. Yeah, that's funny, though, man. That was, when I saw that clip, I was like, wow.
I was curious. I mean, look, I was paying attention to see if he was going to show up. Because after Trump brought up the fact that he wants the Department of Justice to open the whole case back up, and obviously the city of Chicago and the mayor want $130,000, not just the $10,000 he forfeited in what was it, bail money? They want to put a price tag on it that he has to pay that, you know, makes it make more sense. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens.
I mean, this might be the one time that I agree with Trump on something. Usually I don't, but like in this case, I'm like, yeah, they need to look into this. This doesn't make sense. What I think people really want is the truth. Because I saw something online where somebody tweeted about how, oh, check this out. This is why you can't trust nobody. The police department paid for these two guys to stay in a hotel room or whatever. Okay, well, if they're witnesses or whatever, is that out of the ordinary? Is it to protect your witnesses or to keep them at a point where you can know where they're at so you can get more information from them?
Right.
I don't know, but maybe. And look, I'm not denying that there's not corruption in the Chicago PD.
Oh,
certainly not denying that.
Everywhere.
But, you know.
Look at what just happened in Houston.
All I care about is the truth. That's really all I want. And all you can go on is what we know right now. And what we know right now is it looks like he got lucky. And I think that they did a disservice to the people of Chicago and this country based on the fact that it was about race and a hate crime. But at the same time, if the truth is that he really wasn't involved, that's what I want. We just want to know
because you did have two pretty much eyewitnesses that said he paid me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the video of them going to buy the supplies and they have a check to them signed by him. It's kind of cut and dry.
It's the same thing with the Kristaps Porzingis case. I mean, all I really want to know.
That's interesting, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys didn't hear about that, there's a lady that is, he's facing rape allegations. Yeah. She's accused him of rape.
While they were in New York.
Before he was traded to Dallas. Right. Mm-hmm. But she's accusing him of rape, and the allegations came out early, and it actually came out last week. But now, Adrian Wojnarowski.
You had it. Oh, just go. You were good.
Obtained emails and text messages regarding the case where she's talking about how he agreed to pay her $68,000 so she could put her brother through college and that he signed a document and that she's got the signed document. And the lawyer said, well, give it to us and we'll do handwriting analysis on it. And then she said, nope, I'm not going to give it to you. She declined to do that. So then you start to initially you see it and you think, oh, man, here we go again. Another athlete, you know, another Me Too moment. This is terrible. And then some of the facts start to come out. And you start to see things that make you question, okay, what really happened here? I'm not suggesting that I know or presuming that he did or didn't do it. But when you start to see things like there might be a forged document or that
signature was forged, his name was spelled wrong.
She sent him text messages after the alleged allegation. There are documented text messages where she's trying to have an intimate relationship with him, asking him, can they be together and all these things after the rape allegation. You start to question.
She went to the Knicks to hopefully broker a deal to get her the $68,000.
Yep.
There's a lot of different things that have to come true in this story, but the fact of the matter was, what it looks like is he was up front the whole time because the team knew about it. The league has come out and said they knew about it. The Mavs knew about it. So I don't think the Mavs are making this trade if there's a whole lot to this story.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's going to be interesting because she was steadfast on that $68,000. They lived in the same building. She had been kind of in contact with him, but ironically, it all happened the night he blew his knee out, and she said he was drunk. He was probably looped up on drugs because he just blew his knee out.
Yeah. It says in the weeks after the alleged incident, the woman sent text messages to Porzingis asking to spend intimate time with him. She also reportedly sent explicit photos of herself and expressed frustration that Porzingis was friendly towards her when they crossed paths in their apartment complex, but was not responsive via text. Interesting.
Yeah, it's that interesting to say like, the least. Sounds a little fishy.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll obviously have to wait and see how all this comes out. On the surface and at first glance, when you hear all of that, you feel like there's not a lot to go on here because everything looks to be stacked against her. So,
and there should be more to the story. Yep. So, speaking of more to the story, I've got more if you're looking for energy prices that go down for your energy bills at home, but also where the savings keep stacking up because the people take the time to care about you as a customer. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about Infuse Energy. I know from personal experience, Josh Pestikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated, do a fantastic job. I switched almost 2 years ago. I've seen thousands of dollars in savings, and you can too. The fact of the matter is, when you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, or you can log on to infuseenergy.com. But when you call, you're going to get a human being on the phone. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to pinpoint the best rate and the best deal specifically for you. There's going to be the rare occasion when there's another business in town that might be able to beat their rates, and they're actually going to be 100% honest and tell you about them because they don't want to be like someone that's trying to be shady, trying to just get your business and then walk away. They want to be like a trusted friend, which means honesty at all times, even if it can cost them business, because maybe you don't go with them this time, but you'll come back to them because they were honest with you. That's the kind of business arrangements that they like to set up. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that helps decrease your carbon footprint. So you're doing good while they do good for you. And again, mention ESPN 97.5, and you get a $25 bill credit right off the top. It's just the way they like to do business. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Trust me, infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an April Fool's Monday here in the big city.
Hey, Joel, you're awesome.
Liar.
April Fool's.
Yep.
Knew that was coming.
Yep.
Got him. Willie asked, what would I do if, or asked all three of us, what would we do if we saw this at work? And it's a picture of a toilet seat with a fake piece of poop on it. And I think that's a piece of candy. And like somebody rubbed it on the seat. So they're like, brown. I'd quit. I'd just leave. I would quit work and never come back. That's gross.
We're complaining and we don't even have to clean it.
I know. Could you imagine that?
That's like the whole Caddyshack, Baby Ruth in the pool.
Yeah.
Thing.
I remember when I worked at one of the jobs where I had to clean the restrooms, that was not a good job for me.
My dad used to struggle to motivate employees to clean the restroom, so he literally hired a service.
Really?
That all they do is go to local businesses and clean restrooms. It's like a contract company.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
Because people don't want to do that, man. That's nasty.
No, it's gross.
Just be clean, people.
Well, and that's
at least
why,
try to be.
But you think about it, that's why Buc-ee's gets so much run.
Yep.
In a day and age when people don't care about the bathrooms and don't take the time to make them in a clean and somewhat upstanding environment, when you know at least going in that you can go and use the facilities and not have to worry about contracting something.
That should be Buc-ee's slogan. We know you like to poop here. That's it. That's the Buc-ee's slogan.
You don't need a bird's nest here.
Yeah, you don't need the triangle of safety. You can come in and I still put it down, though. Come on.
Oh, absolutely. Even if it's clean.
I'm not
absolutely
putting it down. I'm still making the cone of safety.
No question.
Yeah, but at least it's all clean. I can't stand when you go somewhere and the floor's all nasty. Yeah. And
you mean like right here outside our offices?
Pee all over the floor. Like, God. And it's
like, how bad is your aim?
Yeah, how do you?
I understand some people can't see what they're dealing with from time to time, but come on, man. How difficult is it to hit that big of a target?
You can just say Barry. You don't have to hide behind
some people.
I'm
sure you've seen your junk in the last couple years.
It's like that scene from Me, Myself, and Irene and Jim Carrey. He forgets everything he does when his other self takes over his body. He wakes up in the morning and he's trying to urinate and piss is just going all over the place. He's like, why am I pissing like I just had sex? It was the funniest scene ever. Have you ever seen that?
That's a good movie.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a funny movie. Underrated movie.
Absolutely. You know what else was underrated? Was that I called you out on a television show or a series that I saw that you didn't a segment what? Or two ago. And you're like, I hadn't seen that.
What?
I don't even remember what it was. No. But at the time, I was going to point it out going, hey, come on.
Look first. At that.
And I have a whole bunch of people talking about The Dirt.
Yeah. You have them? You have a whole bunch of people?
I do. And actually, I was playing hoop Saturday. And some of the guys I hoop with was listening
to
the show.
You're the pop culture maven
now?
No,
I'm saying I'm turning the corner and changing the tides a little bit.
I know. That was the point. Somebody did ask about the movie club.
Yeah.
They were like, wait a minute.
They brought that suggestion up.
There's a Usual Suspects movie club. I was like, no, but it's a good idea.
Yeah.
They were like, what's the next movie we're all going to watch? I was like, I don't know. I didn't think. I got to put some thought into this. I know for me, like, I spend a lot of time watching comedy specials, which I know y'all won't do. But
I do it occasionally. Yeah, I do have my favorites, but not an entire special, but I'll...
The new Nate Bargatze I've heard is really good.
Have so not seen
I want to see that. But we got to find a movie for all of us to watch and review. Joel, you're up. You pick a movie for us to watch.
Oh, don't put it on me right away. I'm going to be like Nick on Way Back Wednesday. I'm going to deflect that as long as I can before I got to
do that. Okay, so you want Nick, far. You're next. You got to find us a movie to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, but it's going to be current.
Okay, by tomorrow.
2017 would be the oldest.
Okay, so tomorrow you're going to come to the show with a movie for the Usual Suspects Movie Club to watch.
Done.
We'll all watch it. We'll give one day for everybody to watch it, so we'll come back on Thursday and talk about the movie.
No problem at all.
Good.
There you go.
I like it. Good.
Hey, you guys, this isn't...
Be ready, because you're up next week.
Stop pointing at me.
you're up next week. Be ready.
How about this for not April Fool's Day? I had seen this morning, but I was like, it's not anything to worry about. They're just kicking the tires. Alfred Blue is a Jaguar.
Oh.
He gone.
I had seen that he was going to meet with the Jags in Jacksonville, and I thought, well, you know what? They'll just kick the tires and see, you know, if he's got anything left. And all of a sudden, sure, there he goes. Bye-bye.
Good riddance,
Now they do need more depth at running back.
They do. Not a big loss.
No, it should be a plus for the Texans. Because if you can upgrade the backup running back slot, regardless of what you think is going to happen or not happen with Foreman and his health, and or Lamar Miller still hanging on to try and keep doing those things as a upper echelon running back, Barry, I think they could stand to address the depth at running back.
Yeah, I mean, the third back, so you know that Lamar Miller is going to be your one, Deontay Foreman is going to be your two, so you really have to find a third back. You probably find that in the fifth, sixth round.
Or, you know, get a back that has some versatility. Like, you know, you've got a guy like you have in Kuti for the receiving corps that can also return a little bit for you.
And scat back.
Yeah, get you like a poor man's Tariq Cohen or something like that, where you can get some carries, but you can also run him out of the backfield and move him around a little bit with some speed.
Isn't scat like a
Paula Abdul cartoon in a video?
No.
Oh.
What was that? MC
Scat Cat, right?
Yeah. I don't know why I'm thinking that scat is a porn term.
I thought you were gonna go to Urban Dictionary.
Is it not?
Dick's like, I know that. No.
I thought that was the one that involved poop.
Well, go to Urban Dictionary or something.
Does it not?
Better yet, you've been on Pornhub enough this month. I can look it up.
I really don't know.
Because when I said scat back, I was immediately like, well, that sounds gross.
No, it doesn't.
But I thought I remember. Oh, look at that big collision there. Pirates up 4-3 on St. Louis. Big collision, but they're down. That looks like Nick on a Friday night.
This game said everything.
Look, Nick, that's you on a Friday trying to get up off the ground.
Yeah, that kind of is sometimes.
They've had guys switching gloves in the middle of an inning. They got
really,
yeah. So this game's had everything, but the most important thing for Josh Rapp is the Cardinals are losing again. After taking their lumps in Milwaukee, Cardinals continue to lose.
Continue to struggle. Bust
for
it.
Houston fans, that's just even though they're not in the same division anymore. Too bad. So sad.
I was right. It's scat porn is poo and pee.
How the hell did you know that?
Urban Dictionary doesn't say that.
How did you know?
It does.
That?
Urban Dictionary?
I'm on Urban, a form of pornography involving, I'll just say, poo and pee.
Okay.
Especially popular in Brazil, Japan, and Germany. I'm well-cultured.
What kind of freaks are doing that kind of stuff, for
know.
One? And
yeah, I don't know why you would. I don't like that involved in my porn. I'm out on that. I'm out on all that.
That's R. Kelly's fault.
Yeah, but I thought that was
Wasn't there another entertainer, and I just saw it used?
So it brings on a different term for scat back.
What was it, too, that I thought that I saw an entertainment? There was some documentary somewhere they were talking about an entertainer that had that kind of fetish.
Really?
And they would sit under a glass top table and have the female either defecate or
on
the table.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
I don't know why.
What stimulates any part of you?
And I've been a part of some freaky stuff. Like, I've been choked before, and I kind of liked it.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You've been and you liked
it. Yeah. At least he lived to tell about it.
Just so weird.
I thought it was weird, too, when she first did it.
I swear, if I come in there to like borrow a pen and find a ball gag in your backpack, I would be so angry.
It was so random, because when she started doing it, I was like, what is going on here? Okay, I'll roll with this. And I just let it happen.
You got choked?
Yeah.
And you liked it?
She could have been 100 pounds, too.
And you liked it?
Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
That's so weird. Please don't tell me you tried to choke her.
I don't want
you to go to jail.
I did not.
Okay. I feel like that's something you have to ask.
Normally.
You don't just reach down and start choking the crap out of somebody while
she
you're
didn't
sexing.
Do that.
Like, not while you're sexing. I would be like, hey, so you into any freaky stuff? Like, you want me to smack you on the butt or choke you? No, no, I'm out on both of those. Okay, cool. Because you don't want to accidentally choke somebody and they're not into it.
Should I be concerned? Should I, like, raise this?
You should be concerned that you liked it, yes. Or not that she didn't ask. You should be concerned that you were like, yeah, choke me harder.
Oh, my God.
I didn't tell her that part, but yeah.
What? Talk about terminology, because I was trying to figure out which person in entertainment.
I can't believe you like that.
I was shocked. I ain't going to lie.
You were shocked.
It didn't bother me.
Wait. You were shocked that you liked it or shocked that she choked
you? Well, I was shocked it didn't bother me.
So you liked it or it didn't bother you?
Maybe a combination of the both. Maybe a combination of the both.
My view of you is determined on your answer to this. Did it not bother you or did you like it?
She did it once and it didn't bother me.
Okay, so it's not that you liked it where you're like, now I can never have sex or have an orgasm unless someone's choking me. Because I swear, if I find out one day that you've been found dead in your room because you've tied your belt around your neck and you're masturbating because now that's the only way that you can get any pleasure, I'm going to be so mad at you for killing yourself that way.
Welcome to the parental pickup line on The Usual Suspects.
Again, this happens all the time. This one. It doesn't matter. You know not to do that with our show. You know that. We shouldn't have to tell them earmuffs. This is The Usual Suspects. We talk about crazy stuff all the time.
So Nick's a scat cat.
Yeah,
he's a scat cat.
MC Scat Cat.
MC Scat Cat is our producer now.
DJ Scat Cat. I also DJ name. DJ Choking Scat. I can't believe you're into choking, Nick.
And here's the thing.
I didn't know it was my first time. She did it without asking. I just went with it.
Will it be your last time?
Are you?
No.
You're gonna ask her to choke you?
No, I'm not gonna ask her.
I mean, this is okay.
But you're hoping she does it again.
No, I'm not hoping that she does it again. I'm just saying she did it without asking. I rolled with it. I, you know.
Liked it. You could say you liked it. It's okay.
I don't want her to leave. Let's just put
it's
it that
okay.
way.
It's okay. That might be the good cure for whiskey D. You're like, I'm not into this. Choke me.
Jeez. And here's the other disturbing thing, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Because I looked up the celebrities that might be into the tabletop thing. You got names for that, too. It's either called the glass bottom boat.
Oh, no.
Or wait, the Boston steamer.
Oh, okay. I don't know why that would be, because that's kind of like the Cleveland steamer. That's what they do it on your chest.
Yeah, this is the Boston steamer is on weird. Top of a glass top table with someone underneath.
That's they weird. I like the glass bottom boat. I could see that being the case.
They said that Sylvester Stallone may be one of the guys that's into this deal. Why?
What was that porn that I broke down of his? He didn't do that in that.
Oh no,
one.
Yeah, that was that movie that you. Yeah, I remember that
Italian Stallion or something like that. That wasn't.
I think
in
that's
there.
Exactly what it was.
That's so weird. Hey, you know what's not weird?
Tell me, please. This ought to be good.
Get a cash back. You talk about getting it up, Nick. Get upside.
I'm out.
Let's start over. Hey, you know what's great? Cash in your wallet. Get Upside is going to get you just that. It's going to get you cash back on all of the stuff that you buy, like when it comes to gas and food. Not all the stuff, but a lot of the stuff. 500 gas stations around the city. So it's not going to be like a mom and pop gas station. They have big gas stations, Shell and Exxon, over 500 around the city where you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. But only through the Get Upside app. You're not going to get this anywhere else at these places. These places want your business. The Popeyes and the Wendy's and the Burger King's and the Candelaria's and the Cyclone Anaya's of the world, they want your business. And that's why they offer these cashback deals. But you can only get it through the Get Upside app. And do yourself a favor. Use my promo code Barry when you download it. It's completely free to download. You type in Barry, B-A-R-R-Y as your promo code. And on your first fill up, you're going to get extra savings. So I talk about the up to 25 cents a gallon you can get. Well, you're going to get even more. My wife got 30 cents a gallon back. There's a lot of extra deals to get. I saw on average, I see about 25% back on food at like Burger King and Wendy's, especially around the station. So there's a lot of money. Don't leave money at the table. You think about that. If you got 25% back on four meals in a week, that's a free meal. Do not leave money at the table. Do not leave money at the pump. Download Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back and thank me later. And guys, do not go anywhere. We're back in 60 seconds right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5, 30 minutes to go. That means still plenty of time for you to get on in here. HR&P Lister Line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. You guys are always great suspects when you are participating, and today is no different than the norm when you guys are constantly interacting with the show.
April Robertson on Twitter said the new Nate Bargatze was awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. And then Pink Valkyrie had a really good idea, but I think we've all seen it already. Okay. But the inaugural movie for the club should be The Usual Suspects.
I usually like her ideas, but no, I don't want
to. It's a fantastic movie.
I don't think it should be the first movie.
But we've watched
though.
It already, and I feel like most people have.
Yeah.
Right?
Most normal human beings have seen The Usual Suspects.
Okay, like I hadn't until we came up with the show, or you came up with the show name.
I saved
But I watched it. What do you mean?
I saved you because I waited until after you saw it to make that statement I just made.
There you go. Thank you for saving me. I appreciate that. So you found some interesting information out at the break.
Yeah. So I was trying to, you know, when I Googled, like, if there's a name for it and the entertainers that were involved on the, in this, and there was a whole chat room back and forth going back. They're saying that Sylvester Stallone, Jack Nicholson, Ed Asner, who was a longtime actor on a lot of different sitcoms. Barbara Billingsley, the mom on Leave It to Beaver.
What?
Yeah.
No!
Like, the list just kept on going, and I'm like, what do people...
She left it to the beaver and the beehole. That's not good.
Boy.
That is not good
at
all. I
knew that was coming from you. I knew it.
That is not good at all. Oh, my God.
And here's the kicker of all kickers. A man that you trusted with entertainment for your children.
I know where you're going because the text line has it.
Walt frickin' Disney was a poop on a table guy with him underneath.
Yeah, he liked the glass bottom boat, apparently.
Yeah, or the Boston steamer. What is going on with these people?
Walt, you're killing me with this.
Someone, and I don't know that this is verified, but someone on the chat went so far as to say that Sly Stallone didn't want to wait for the table. He was a get up and close and personal and take it right from the...
On the... in our text line?
No, someone in that blog post about everybody, the entertainers that got into it.
Oh.
They said that Sly Stallone and Jack Nicholson were both big on it, but that Sly was even bigger on tastefully... getting right up to where they, when the lady was pooping.
I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, you do.
No, what are you saying?
I'm just saying.
I don't think anybody understood. I know what you're trying to say.
I want to keep the show in good taste.
I know
Barry,
what you're trying,
what I'm trying
to say.
To say is Sly would get the table out of the equation and he wouldn't mind getting right up there with the pie hole and the poop. How about that?
That is so gross.
God, that's nasty.
He drank from the fountain. Is what
he
you're
was
saying.
Drinking, but he was eating like a buffet.
Like if you go to the Golden Corral and they have the chocolate fountain,
yeah,
he wouldn't get a cup or he would just put his mouth on the fountain. That's so disgusting. I can't believe that, first of all, that y'all got us on this.
Oh, yeah.
This
okay.
is awful. Mm-hmm. Second of all, that people would do that is just.
Like if we had a poll of the three of us, which one would be responsible for getting into that dialogue?
Nick.
No.
Oh, he started it with the choking. Mm. Oh, actually, maybe I started
you
when
did
I said
it with
scat,
the scat
back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Nick likes to be choked. Let's talk about that instead.
We don't need to. We already had a discussion. We talked about it, and it's over. It was a moment in my life, and it passed.
So you know,
moment.
How,
it
so,
was once.
So, oh, no.
Wait,
next... A moment, so you're never going to do it again.
I don't know. She didn't ask me. She just
I
did
asked
it.
Asked him that. The thing is the next listener party, instead of giving you hugs, they're just going to start choking Nick out.
I like it. I'm down.
No, that's not a good
I'm
idea.
Down.
Listeners will take you seriously, and we've got some big ass listeners.
I need Mark.
Hey,
I need,
Nick, I've been waiting to meet you.
I can't wait to see Mark Shell's shirt that says,
no.
I'm here to choke
if
Nick.
If Mark Shell grabs a hold of me,
oh, you're dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Yep.
But you're going to die happy. Be like, wow, he really did get a chub on the way out. That's weird.
Jeez.
That's just awful.
This
awkward.
Is a disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know why we talk about this stuff.
I don't know why you admit something.
I didn't
like
know my
that.
Mic was on. I just spat it out.
Oh, whatever.
You spat out what?
You just thought it would just be one of those like, oh, they won't really notice if I say this, but I'll.
Were you choking?
You
spat it out. Okay, speaking of entertainers
uh-huh.
that maybe probably shouldn't get into these kind of topics, How about the fact that recently Rob Lowe revealed on an episode of the WTF podcast with Marc Maron that his 1988 sex tape was too ahead of its time? Quote, the real effed up part was I didn't wait 20 years later to do it where it would have helped my career, the 55-year-old said, alluding to a number of celebs who have turned sex tapes into opportunities like Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton. Fresh off the success of St. Elmo's Fire, get this, fellas, he was 24, she was 16.
Oh, no.
And you come out and say on a statement that, I mean, you should have waited, bro. She was 16.
Yeah, not a good decision.
That's. But remember now, we went through this with the R. Kelly thing. Different states have different ages, and 16 is the minimum in some states.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Not necessarily illegal in that state. 17 is Illinois. So
I think R. Kelly's talked about a range, too.
Being nasty with them 17-year-olds.
And you're right, Barry, because it said he was 24 coming off of St. Elmo's Fire. She was 16. He taped it in an Atlanta hotel room the night before he supported Michael Dukakis in the 1988 Democratic National Convention. At the time, the age of consent in the state of Georgia was
16.
14.
What?
Jeez. What was going on in the ATL?
14?
That's creepy.
That's real creepy. So he was. That doesn't even make 16 look bad now.
Seriously, bro, you should have just kept your mouth shut. That you should have. Yeah, come on.
That's weird.
And your career was just fine.
Pink Valkyrie tweeted it. God, I'm glad Maddie's still in school. Listen, I'll say it. If you were just like, oh, I'm sending a letter. Okay, but you know what you're getting into with this show. Now, we don't have a fancy warning like the Blitz, but this is what we do. So, you know, we talk sports and we talk a little mess.
We mix it up.
Literally talk mess. So.
It's like the locker room.
That's right.
Or the living room.
There you go.
I was waiting for it. I'm a good sport.
There you go.
So, I mean, okay, we've covered enough of the entertainment aspect of this, but there's some people with some real weird habits out there that I don't think that they should be making public.
By the way, of all people, and I'm going to read this because you sent it, Mandy.
Okay.
Of all people, sweet, innocent, nice. How much did she lose? 130 pounds. Lost in the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge year one. Mandy sends a text that says, Nick, there's nothing wrong with a little light choking. You're good.
See? Mandy's
what?
Got my back.
Well, she's got your neck, if nothing
no.
else.
You guys are showing your age. Everyone loves to be choked these days. Wrong. I don't like to be choked. Not while I'm having sex.
Someone really just texted that?
Or like, not when I'm having sex. And when I'm pretty much no on choking, whether it's involved sex or not. Like, if you were to, like, ask me in a poll, I'm going to be out on choking at any point.
Bunch of weirdos out there.
You included.
You?
No, I'm not a part of this weird group.
And you're labeled a choker now.
Yeah. DJ
I'm
Auto
DJ Scat Cat.
DJ Auto Erotic Asphyxiation. That's too long to put on a business card, but I think we know what you are.
Wow, we gotta go to break. It's gotten way out of hand. It's the Usual Suspects at ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one segment to go before we wrap up the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday. Fun day.
Juan said the subjects you get into is why we call ourselves suspects, as Juan in Denver. Probably true.
Okay.
Probably true.
I gotcha. I got a question for y'all real quick.
Okay.
We've talked about this a little bit, but now it's a huge hot topic. Now that the Cougs are done, is Kelvin Sampson staying or going?
I mean, obviously everybody wants him to stay. And if you take him for his word and at face value, it sounds like he would stay. But I know, I mean, we did discuss a little bit last week that Arkansas's made the offer and they have the money and everything else. But I don't know. It's just, I'm not inside of his mind. So I don't really know.
Here's the thing. Hunter Yurecek is the guy that hired him here. He's now the AD at Arkansas. There's a relationship there, but now reports are surfacing that no offer's been made by Arkansas. So it's like, who do you believe? But the bottom line is, if it's true, the other rumor that's out there is he's been offered top 10 money, 6 years, $18 million, $3 million just straight out for his salary. And then you factor in shoe deals and, you know, all the camps and things like that. This is a Tom Herman situation all over again, but you hope it ends well for U of H, because unlike Herman, who wanted the bigger, better deal, I still believe in my heart that everything we talked about is true and that Kelvin started something here that he wants to keep developing and building and keep this program where it's at. And I hope that's the case, because Calipari, I mean, and I understand money's different from situation to situation. Calipari, the rumor just came out on ESPN. UCLA is trying to get him on a massive deal, and Kentucky just offered him a lifetime contract to stay at Kentucky.
That's big, man.
The money for college coaches is starting to get up there with NBA coach money.
It's like some of the bonuses for making the Final Four is in the millions, right?
So Tony Bennett at Virginia got $250,000 to make the Elite Eight and another $250,000 to make the Final Four. He just made half a mil, just like that.
I mean, at least it's an incentive, because – it's really hard to get to the Final Four, I think, even if you're with Tony Bennett in that program.
That's, Duke just proved that, but with the roster they had.
Absolutely.
Don't you find it weird, though, that the bonus is the same for both rounds? I would think it's harder to get to the Final Four. So if my bonus to make the Elite Eight is 250, you would think the bonus to make the Final Four would be maybe 400 or 350.
I would tend to agree with that. Your agent for being a dumbass and not
that's
tiering
weird.
It.
Yeah, that's weird that it would be the same in both rounds.
So Calipari got offered 6 years, $48 million from UCLA.
Nice.
As a college basketball coach.
Yeah, that's baseball money.
Who's had more titles taken away from him than he has won it. But because he's the king of the one and done, and because he gets all the top recruits,
he embraced it.
And he's made a lot of money doing it. And now the counter is to stay at Kentucky. They're going to offer him a lifetime deal, which is a combination of head coaching, and then it would be extended into a paid role as an ambassador following his quote-unquote retirement in case they don't fire him. Or he doesn't get rung up by the NCAA.
See, for Calipari, I feel like he's going to use that for leverage, and he wants to stay at Kentucky, and he's probably going to take a deal from Kentucky, and he's going to get paid from Kentucky. That's how I look at it. But for Kelvin Sampson, I mean, I think the thing is, like, when did Kelvin Sampson get the notoriety, get the attention from a national standpoint? That's the big question. Because even if you do start to get noticed from a national standpoint as a college basketball coach, sometimes it takes one or two seasons before they start getting those big offers. And, Joel, you're the one, you're buddies with Coach Sampson, and you know the family dynamic that exists and how that's important to him. Mm-hmm. It has to be an offer he can't refuse. I don't know if he's gotten there yet, but maybe he has. I just don't know. I don't feel like he's gotten that massive offer. That's going to be something that he can't refuse and make him break up the dynamic that he could potentially have with his family being there at the University of Houston.
And the other thing is, and again, when you start talking about HR issues that are top, front, and center all the time now in all worlds and facets of business, a lot of universities might shy away from the fact that, hey, part of the deal is you got to hire my son, you got to hire my daughter. My son has to be the heir apparent to the coaching position. Those are things that sometimes people are going to walk away from because they're like, that's a slippery slope. I don't want to do that from a hiring practices and everything else that goes into it. But the alums also know how to come up with money and make deals happen if they really are adamant about this being their guy. And you look about it when I start talking about NBA type money. One of the drawbacks to the UCLA job is the fact that who would have thought this, that charter flights are the norm amongst top 25 teams now in college basketball, and UCLA is one of the only remaining schools that still flies commercial, and that several big-time coaches that have been called about the UCLA job are like, if you ain't flying charter, we're not doing it.
I could see that. You know, if you have those benefits, those perks, other places, why would you want to go to a school that's being cheap in that regard? That's the thing, man. These schools that are competing against each other, it's everywhere. it's not just on the court with coaches. It's the facilities. Yep. It's the perks.
That's why U of H had to rebuild all their facilities.
It's the, you know, the special treatment that you get on campus, like a house in football, where you get to stay on campus in a house and all those things.
Country club memberships.
All those things come into play when you're recruiting coaches, including how they travel.
Fellas, here's the other thing. Because he turned Kentucky around, and like you said, Kentucky is definitely a basketball school, unlike a coach going to Alabama when they know it's a football school. Why would you leave when his current contract runs through 2024, he's the highest paid basketball coach in the country, making total compensation $9.2 million this year, and he receives a retention bonus of $2.6 million in each of the next three Julys that he stays.
Wow.
Just stay, and you get an extra 2.6 on top of 9.2.
It's interesting, though, if you talk about a lifetime contract, how do you structure that? Do you say so that this is an incremental raise, or you'll go based on the top five, you know, an average, almost like being franchise tagged, where it's like, okay, since it's a lifetime deal, every 5 years we reassess what we pay you, and it's based on the average of the top five, and you get that or whatever. Because if I'm going with a lifetime deal, that's what I'm going to say, is you're not just going to lock me in at a rate that I don't know, because you know you don't know how salaries could increase.
Well, you're right, but on the flip side, at least you know there's a dollar figure coming in, because you look at Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla, at the time when he deferred all that money on the contract he signed with the Mets, people thought he was an idiot, but now he gets $1 million a year for God knows how many years. But as long as the number is specified in a contract,
I would,
whether you say it via percentage of whatever you're looking at, or you say every year for this many years, for the life of, for as long as you're on this planet, you get 100 grand or 200 grand or 300 grand. Because you remember now, Reebok made lifetime deals with Tracy McGrady and Allen Iverson.
Yeah, one of those was a mistake. One of them wasn't.
Okay.
I'll leave it
but
to you.
But both of them are in Hall of Fame. Charles Barkley doesn't have a lifetime deal with Nike, but as long as they keep putting his name on shoes, they're going to be making money back.
But I'm saying, as a coach, I would be like, you know what? As long as I'm coaching, I want to be paid as the, you know, one of the top three. So you have to keep my money in the top three.
As long as he's coaching.
As long as I'm coaching. And then once I retire, I want to make $250,000 a year as a special assistant or whatever, and a 20% raise every year for cost of living and everything else. Like that's a hell of a deal to pass up.
But if you're the university, like then, especially when you're looking at hiring practices and what you're paying people, are you really going to go, hey, what are we paying this guy for? Is he doing what? He's doing meet and greets?
Yeah, but that's why you're keeping him now for the lifetime deal.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, but this is, you know, and of course that's all spelled out. This is my job title. This is my responsibilities, meet and greets and consulting with the, you know,
speaking
head coach,
business current, groups, whatever it may be.
Boosters and all that stuff. So you spell all that out, but that's not a bad gig if you can get it. You're always going to be a top three paid coach as long as you're coaching, and you get a base salary and a raise every year till you die.
That's when you get an agent that actually tiers your bonus structure based on the final four as opposed to the same number.
Exactly. Somebody texted the show and said, should I take 94.1 off my preset?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely do that.
What is on there right now?
I don't know. What is on 94.1, Nick?
It's not religious programming anymore, is it? Or is it?
I thought it was Spanish, but I'm not sure.
It's either Spanish or Spanish religious programming, I think. I'm not sure. For once, that was me. Thanks.
Oh, it was you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's on you.
I'll take it. This time.
Mine's on
you. Normally it's you.
Yeah, mine's on you. Good for me.
All right. Good show on a Monday, fellas. Flew by. Had a lot of fun. Kind of ran the gamut of different topics. But more to come as we have a Tuesday here in studio tomorrow, talking about a lot of things as baseball continues. Strozer in Arlington.
Are we on remote this week? At all?
I don't think all week we are.
Okay, good.
No.
We may have two comedians this week. I got to talk to you guys about that. But there's some special stuff coming up, so I want to make sure we let the peeps know.
Good. Yeah. Let us know at the same time.
Word up.
Okay. There you go. All right. So Tuesday's coming up. We should have a lot to talk to Rangers and Stros, and what's always a big deal because the Rangers are off to a hotter start than the Astros. Let's see how long that lasts. And whatever's on your mind that you want to get off your chest. We always appreciate you guys being suspects. And with that being said, for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Y'all have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own parts or not. Yeah, boy.
This is ESPN 97.5.